as Leah said, I work for the Public Health Institute. I'm the director of Go Hoven International, which is an initiative that has worked for the last 10 years building capacity in youth leaders and their organizations in sexual and reproductive health, particularly for adolescents, in Belize, Guatemala, Quintana Roo, Mexico, and Honduras. And I'd like to recognize my colleague, Gabriela Flores, who's here from Honduras. She's one of our youth leaders, and she'll be doing a presentation at 2:30. So those of you that are interested in listening to her advocacy work in Honduras around comprehensive sexuality education. So I have nothing to disclose. And just wanted to look at why did we decide to do a program, an intervention that's focusing on building organizational capacity. And probably as many of you know, Central America has very high rates of adolescent pregnancy, between 20 and 25% of pregnancies in many Central American countries, and particularly in Honduras and Guatemala where we work, are actually two girls ages 15 to 19. There are also extremely high levels of violence against women, and femicides are actually, Honduras and Guatemala are the two countries in the world with the highest level of femicides. And in Belize and in Guatemala, and in Belize and Honduras, HIV is the highest rates of HIV in Central America. So we decided to do a project that was funded by the World Bank. It was focused on strengthening organizational knowledge and performance of 45 civil society organizations and government agencies in these three countries so that they could really effectively manage, fund, and also collaborate in advancing adolescent sexual and reproductive health policies, programs, and services. And one of the things that we saw was in working with organizations over the last 10 years is that although a lot of them do programming specifically around adolescent sexual and reproductive health, there's not a lot of collaboration across the organizations. There's often a lot of competition in terms of receiving funding. And there's also not much of a focus on building their internal capacity as an organization, right? It's all project funded. So they get funds, they do projects, but they don't actually have a chance to actually focus in on strengthening the organization to be able to sustain those efforts. And the second objective was to really be able to increase the resources available for these civil society organizations and government agencies to be able to do this organizational capacity building. And doing that through providing ongoing technical assistance during over a year time, and also technical assistance and funding for them to be able to implement these organizational capacity building workshops. With the ultimate goal of really being able to improve adolescent sexual and reproductive health outcomes. So what did we do in terms of the intervention design? We partnered with local consultants, Public Health Institute. We actually don't have any offices in other countries. We do a fair amount of global health work, but we mainly partner with local organizations. So we had strong partnerships in all three countries, and we partnered with local consultants and with these groups to actually implement the majority of the interventions. So we actually did a lot of this management from Oakland, but the actual people on the ground were doing the actual intervention. The first step was having the organizations. We invited 91 organizations to participate across all three countries, and 45% of them actually accepted to come and participate in this. And the first step was for them to do an organizational self-assessment, looking at the strength of their organization and how they were able to work on adolescent sexual and reproductive health. And then we designed a two-day organizational capacity building workshop that was based on the individual country context. And it was really on key topics, both in organizational capacity building, but also in best practices in adolescent sexual and reproductive health. Because what we found is a lot of the organizations are designing their own projects in adolescent sexual and reproductive health, but they're not necessarily looking at the research out there of what the best practices are for designing programs in adolescent sexual and reproductive health. And very few of the organizations that we invited, even though they did adolescent sexual and reproductive health work, had ever really looked at best practices in adolescent sexual and reproductive health. So the different participants that attended, so one of the things that we did was we really wanted youth and adolescents to be a part of the conversation and to be a part of the organizational capacity building. So we asked every organization to bring a youth leader from within their organization to, along with a director or a program manager, so that we could try and build these youth-adult partnerships, not only in terms of program implementation, but also in terms of organizational capacity building and designing interventions. And quite a few of the participants, particularly in Guatemala and Honduras, were from very rural and indigenous communities, because the GoHoven program, that is sort of the umbrella of this project, works in particularly in indigenous and rural communities in these countries. So 75 to 83% of the organizations actually sent youth-adult pairs. So we were excited about that. Here's a couple of photos of some of the workshops. And there's a lot of concerted effort to make sure that both men and women and senior and younger leaders from the different organizations were a part of it. So the organizations, after this two-day workshop that was... They really did a capacity building proposal. So we gave them funding and support in designing a proposal, and then we funded the proposal so that they could implement a year-long capacity building, internal capacity building project. And then we provided technical assistance to the grantees and throughout the year. There were... Although 100% of the projects of the organization said they wanted to submit a proposal, right? So here's an opportunity, we're doing an RFP, 100% said they would, only 58% of the organizations actually did submit the proposal. And one of the challenges, we think, was that it was a fairly rigorous process to actually be able to develop the proposal, but also it was just that these organizations are so busy doing the work that they're doing that they don't necessarily even have the time to focus on writing the proposal, to focus on their own internal capacity. We did fund 10 organizational capacity building grants, small grants, and 9 of the organizations were able to implement their projects. One wasn't, because it was a clinic in one of the government agencies actually in Honduras, and there was a strike, and so the adolescent clinic wasn't able to do the work. A lot of the technical assistance that we provided was actually in helping them to design their projects, especially to try and design a monitoring evaluation component around the projects, because that was one of the weakest pieces of their proposals. Then we continued to provide technical assistance in a Again, it was our in-country partners that were providing technical assistance, and it was weekly or bi-weekly check-ins with the organizations, as well as in-person meetings, so up to 5 in-person meetings with each one of the organizations. After the projects actually were implemented by the grantees, we then had them come back and do a network and knowledge sharing forum in each country so that they could actually share the results of their projects and look at how they could increase networking across the different organizations. We provided sort of a template and some coaching to them about how to present their results to their colleagues, and then they really facilitated a process that they could look at planning for ongoing networking. Here's a couple of photos of the networking forum in Honduras. And some of the evaluation methods that we used, as I mentioned, an organizational capacity appraisal survey initially, then a pre- and post-workshop questionnaires, key interviews, the written final project reports of their capacity-building projects, and then a post-knowledge sharing workshop questionnaires. So what were some of the results? After the two-day very intensive workshop on organizational capacity building and adolescent sexual and reproductive health, there was an increase in knowledge and ability in terms of both organizational capacity as well as promising practices. And they looked at their knowledge of organizational development and its importance to institutional capacity building and learning, their ability to assess their own organizational capacity, their comfort level with addressing organizational development issues in their organization, their knowledge of promising practices in adolescent sexual and reproductive health, and their ability to incorporate adolescent sexual and reproductive health best practices into their organizational operations and programming. And there was between 60 and 100% of people that actually said they had a substantial increase in knowledge in both of these areas. And adults and youth also really acknowledge the importance of the adult-youth exchanges and discussions around the ASRH issues. And here's some of the program work. And so what were some of the results of these actual projects? So the 9 organizational capacity building projects were implemented in these different topics: in mission and vision and strategy, governance and leadership, human resource development, revenue generation, program delivery and impact, and strategic relationships. So we kept really telling them, it's not a project proposal. This is an organizational capacity building proposal. And most of them had never had a chance to develop a proposal to have an internal, inward-focused project within their organization. So they had a lot of challenges in actually developing the proposals themselves. But what were some of the exciting proposals in the projects? These are a few. I just want to mention DEMI, Asociación de Mujeres Ixpiyacolc, in Guatemala. And they included sexual and reproductive health as an independent program unit in their health program, and that was approved by the board. So, and then UNABOM is an LGBTQ organization in Belize. And they really, after participating, their project, they included sexual and reproductive health needs of adolescents from people living with HIV and community and sexual minority populations into their strategic plan. So they hadn't had a specific focus on working with these adolescents. And then Centro Escolar Mexico Junior College in Quintana Roo, Mexico, the administration and staff developed and approved a 3-year strategic plan for the school that integrates sexual and reproductive health into school activities and programs. So even though it was a small, there were only $3,000 grants, they still were able to do really incredible stuff by inwardly focusing. This is the Mexico Junior College teachers and staff. Some of the other results, the one-day networking knowledge sharing forum really increased the awareness and knowledge of organizational capacity building as well, really understanding the importance of networking collaboration, and also helped again to not only talk about strategies, but to show that here were 9 different projects that had strategies in incorporating youth-friendly ASRH projects and services into their organizational program and operations. And in both, and even in this project at the end of the year, so 38 organizations participated with 68 participants, and that was about 85% of who had participated initially. So we were really pleased that after a year, these organizations all came back. The majority of them actually came back to learn what their colleagues had done and continue to look at issues of networking. So one of the forum. What were some of the challenges? After the initial workshop, a lot of the participants said that they didn't think they would be able to do organizational capacity building without continued technical assistance. So we were very glad that it wasn't just a 2-day workshop, right? They also had a difficult time doing the proposals, as I mentioned. And many of them have very little capacity in program evaluation, as we all know. And so that was an area that there was really a need for a lot of technical assistance, was looking at how they can actually include quantitative and qualitative data to really support the results of their projects. Because as we know, a lot of small community-based organizations and government units around the world develop projects, but there's not good evaluation to show that there's actually some sort of evidence that the project actually worked. Here are some recommendations. Obviously, ongoing organizational capacity building is a need and interest of the organizations and government institutions. They really need access to technical expertise, so don't just give them a grant to do organizational capacity building, but actually have on-site experts that can work with them to implement their organizational capacity building projects. And that it really, a lot of the organizations that serve adolescents, adolescent sexual and reproductive health, they need to have young people in there, right? We know that in terms of programming and everything. So they should really include them in program development and decision making. As I mentioned, a big need for increased capacity in monitoring and evaluation. I don't think that's anything new. But the other thing we notice is that a real need to facilitate and maintain ongoing momentum around collaboration, because there was a lot of excitement about collaboration, and they all included some level of collaboration in their projects, but to actually have them continue to see the value and network after they go home was more challenging. And obviously it requires a sustained investment, I think, for those of us that are doing programming as well for the donors. Here's one of the groups from Belize, and here's my contact information. So, thank you very much.
Great, thank you, Esther. So our next topic is Very Young Adolescents in Humanitarian Contexts, the Risks and the Needs. This is presented by Linnea Zimmerman. And Linnea is a research associate at Johns Hopkins in the Department of Population, Family, and Reproductive Health. Currently, she's working on the PMA 2020 project, and she received her PhD from Hopkins in 2014 and her MPH in Global Health from Emory in 2008. Her focus is on reproductive health and family planning, with a particular interest in these issues among displaced and vulnerable populations.